It's no surprise that there are some conflicting reports about this, but some say that China has retaliated against the U.S. Others are saying that if they have retaliated, it's been very ineffective. But here's one thing that is crystal clear. We are covering all things pigs and pork this week. Let's kick it off. Pork Week on AgriTalk.
Live from an impenetrable fortress of safety via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with Machinery Pete, that's Greg Peterson. Then we'll talk with Mike Poschin, president of the Iowa Pork Producers Association. And in the final segment, we'll get the rundown from Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. Hey, right after the news, Michael Clark from BAM WX is talking weather. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Do we have time to do all that this morning?
We can fit it
that
in.
Seems I think like we can do it. Lot.
Yeah. Okay. It is a lot. Yeah. That's what we do here, man.
It's exactly you know? Right. How you doing?
Really, really great. Really great.
Good. Good.
How about
beautiful
you?
Day here in Northeast Iowa, huh?
It's the 1st of June, you know?
Yes.
Just in time.
We've got a little bit of heat coming in. We'll talk to Michael Clark about that here in just a little bit. And he's got a few things that I know that he is watching very, very closely and to see how it develops later this week as far as some tropical depression and how it might influence our weather here in the Midwest. We got to get a download from Michael on that. And then, of course, we're going to have a conversation with Greg Peterson. And it's – This conversation is it's going to go further than our normal. Here's the rundown of what is going on in the world of used machinery. Because, man, I tell you what, Greg updates his blog posts on a regular basis, so I'm always looking for it to see what he's talking about. He put a message out there to graduating seniors that we need to talk about.
Oh, cool.
It's just so well thought out and it's heartfelt from Greg to the graduating seniors. So, I'm looking forward to discussing that with him. And then Mike, I've not had Mike Poschin on the show before. He's the president of the Iowa Pork Producers Association. I'm looking forward to that conversation. And then we'll get everything there is about Pork Week and from Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. It's going to be a lot of fun, dude.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Let's get to the news. What do you got from your impenetrable?
Yes, you can't get in here. There's just no entry. More confusion on China emerged over the weekend with wire services reporting China has asked two major state-run firms to stop purchasing U.S. soybeans and pork. The move was said to be in response to Trump's comments on Friday after China tightened its grip on Hong Kong last week. But Chip, other reports say those Chinese firms are making P&W offers on soybeans from September forward and are questioning the Reuters and Bloomberg pause reports. Bloomberg reported that the two state-run buying agencies had inquired about 20 to 30 cargoes of U.S. beans, but held off on moving ahead after Trump's Friday announcement. What do you make of this?
It's all very confusing. And if they do put a pause on soybean purchases, I think that's all it's going to be, because they can only meet so much of their demand with supplies coming out of South America.
Right.
They're going to need to buy additional product from the U.S. going forward in that time period in particular, when we start to bring the new crop beans to market. So, we're going to talk with Karen Braun from Reuters this afternoon on the show. She'll have some insight on this. Yeah.
She'll know. Yep. Well, Chip, President Trump has postponed the G7 summit after German Chancellor Angela Merkel declined to attend. Trump said he's hoping Russia will rejoin the group and says he would also invite South Korea, India, and Australia as a means of building a coalition of traditional allies to discuss China policy. Russia was suspended from what was then the group of eight, or G8, major economies in 2014. After its annexation of Crimea. And Chip, I guess maybe I missed the headline where Russia gave Crimea back. So we're just letting Russia in now? We don't care about the Crimea thing anymore?
Evidently that's right. And that's so discouraging. Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, as you may well know, violent protests erupted over the weekend after the death of a man in Minneapolis while in police custody. Protesters smashed windows, set fires, and looted businesses. The National Guard dispatched around 5,000 soldiers across 15 states to help deal with the uprisings. The Associated Press reports around 4,100 people have been arrested, and President Trump was forced to take shelter in a bunker as crowds swelled around the White House. The president remarked he will designate Antifa as a terrorist organization, saying that group is leading violence at anti-police brutality demonstrations. Man, this is not what we need right now, Chip.
Yeah, it looks very organized. It really does, and it's not spontaneous uprising.
Right.
And the looting that is happening, when you're doing that in downtown Des Moines and breaking windows at restaurants, and these guys are they're family businesses that are trying to get restarted after being shut down.
Right.
And we go down there and we do that kind of stuff. You know what? George Floyd should be remembered, and he should be remembered for dying a very unjust death.
Yes, sir. Yep.
But at the same time, is this how we want to remember him?
Right.
I can't believe that his family would say that, yes, this is how we want to remember him. I look at what's happening in this country right now with just utter disbelief, Davis.
Yes.
That we've turned into, in many cases, a banana republic. Can't happen.
We're a long way from where we were in February. A long way from February.
Boy, you got that right. You got that right. All right. Yeah. Hey, can we jump to the weather here? We need to get Michael Clark in from BAMWX.com. Thank you, Davis.
Do it, baby. Yep.
All right. Michael, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Yep. Doing good, buddy. How are you?
Doing all right. All right. So we got a little heat coming into the middle of the country, huh?
We do, yeah, especially into the Western Plains. This week, they're going to run, 10 to 15 degrees above average for a 7-day stretch. So some mid to upper 90s. It's going to be warm, and it's going to remain dry for now for this week.
Okay. All right, what's the wild card this week, Michael?
So we're watching the Gulf of Mexico very, very closely because there's a strong possibility of a tropical storm or even potentially hurricane development. And right now it's targeting the Louisiana-Texas coastline. Where it goes from there is a big deal because it some data has it right up into the heart of the Corn Belt. Some indications are it could go west into the Western Plains. This is going to be a big deal because it would bring a lot of rain to areas that are very dry in the Western Plains, if so. So we've got to watch this. If that doesn't make it in here next week, it'll be a very dry week. That's the big wild card at the moment.
Okay, so odds that we do get some of that needed moisture into the Southwest, good?
I think they're pretty good, Chip. I mean, especially in the Western Plains, there definitely is a potential they could get some drought relief rainfall if it comes from a tropical system. So
yeah, you know, and a lot of times I'm not going to raise any warning flags that shouldn't be raised. But when a tropical system comes in and breaks a drought in the Southwest, you got to be, sky aware for some flash floods, right?
You do. Absolutely. Yep. And then keep in mind, it's going to get very warm next week in the Eastern Belt as well.
Okay. All right, Michael, thank you so much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. That is Michael Clark with BAMWX.com. Coming up next, we got Machinery Pete right here on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
This special edition of AgriTalk is supporting Pork Week, paying tribute to pork producers who bring lean and nutrient-rich pork to your table. Coverage brought to you by Merck, PIC, United Animal Health, Alltech Hubbard, and Hypor. Learn more at porkbusiness.com.
bacon and bacon and bacon and bacon and lettuce and tomato sandwich.
Bacon and lettuce and tomato sandwich.
Yeah, there's that.
That would be way good.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. No doubt. All right. Hey, it's Monday. That means that it is time for a conversation with Greg Peterson. Hey, don't forget, too, to get all the Pork Week coverage, just go to porkbusiness.com. Okay? So get on there and get on what is it, that interweb machine kind of thing?
The interweb. The interweb, doohickey.
Porkbusiness.com.
Follow the sound of the happy pig.
Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing, doing well, guys. Although I was all set for a lunch with cold pizza in the fridge, but man, BLT on the brain now. I'm going, I got to go that way.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. I am a big fan of bratwurst.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I feel like I should put that out there for everybody to know during Pork Week, I guess. But it is one of my, and when they started doing the brat patties, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago or 15 or 20 or whatever it was, that kind of changed my whole world because, you know, those brat patties are doggone quick to on the grill. You can get them done
in a
hurry.
They're a game changer, an absolute game changer. Yeah, absolutely. You change the shape, but it's still the same delicious product. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Innovation.
All right. Yeah. Let's get on to the conversation about some equipment here. What do you got for the pick of the week, Greg?
Pick of the week. We're going to hit a familiar theme here of late, guys. We're going out to West Central Pennsylvania on Saturday, Sagertown, PA.
Okay.
Consignment sale. But my friend Dylan Bulk sends me some videos from auctions he hits out that way, and he sent me a couple pieces. You might have seen the YouTube video I posted Saturday night, but a baler, John Deere 457, which you don't see quite as many of that particular model, but it was a nice one. I'd done 6,000 bales, brought $15,000, which I knew that was high. Dylan knew it was high. I got looking through our data, and I believe it's like the second highest auction price in about 5.5 years on a 457. And for perspective, if you include that, the average auction price on the last 15 John Deere 457s is $7,286.
Holy
smokes. So 15K was pretty good, but same story we talk about every week. You know, people say that's nuts, whatever. But hey, super nice one. What's a new one cost, buddy?
Price so a new one.
That pulls up on the value of the good used.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And that hay and forage equipment, it feels like it has gone through some kind of a cycle where we are back to the point where guys put off and put off and put off and they can't put off any longer, and they've got to get some of this equipment replaced on in their operation. Feels like that's where we're at, Greg.
Yeah, I think definitely, Chip, that has to be a piece of it. I mean, because of, again, since the calendar flipped here into 2020, I've mentioned a number of times in blogs, and whether it's skid steer or small square balers or rakes, tedders, disc mowers, round balers. Again, it's all about condition. So this 457, you looked at the picture and you could tell it was nice and the people on the ground there. And this was, remember now, this was a consignment auction, which tends to be just a little lighter. I would say, too, the one great thing about the YouTube video was this was a physical auction. So now folks were spacing out and stuff, but it's nice. We're starting to see, you know, Arkansas is open, Missouri, Pennsylvania. So starting to see more of the, you know, back to the auction. So then we can maybe get a brat patty when we're out there at the sale if we have gloves on and put hand sanitizer on with our ketchup or something.
That's right. Got to do it all. What else happened at that auction?
Well, it was a pickup. People don't always catch that Machinery Pete compiles pickup prices, but I have been for over 30 years. And Dylan sent video, and you know, I like these vintage kind of 70s into the early 90s pickups. And it was a 92 model Ford F-250, 4x4 extended cab, 7.3 diesel, 159,000 miles. But it was one of the two-tones, kind of a sky blue and silver, which I just like those two-tones. But it brought 12.5 with 160K almost miles on it. So, yeah, pretty strong on the round baler and the pickup there Saturday out in Western PA.
Right. Was it talking about those two tones? You did a story it's been a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
About a dealer, is it in Stuartville or Spring Valley or something like that, where he's taking late models?
I want to say it was Blooming Prairie, Minnesota.
It was
Blake. He was a Buick dealer, but he was taking, he had a package where he was taking these old pickups, like the big 10s from the late 70s and stuff, and he could take like a, I believe it was a 2012 or 13 model up through 15.
Yeah.
And then, he had this package and he could make it look as close as possible to a retro one. And that video, I tell you what, that generated so many sparks. A lot of people like me were just visually like, oh man, that's cool.
Oh,
but then
put the old Cheyenne package on those trucks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then there were people that were like, it's a sacrilege. No, that's not really a Cheyenne. You can't do that. Hey, I totally get it. I just like the way it looks. It's cool going down the road. So it's pretty fun.
I did too. No doubt. Okay. So going down the road, we're sending seniors on down the road without the pomp and circumstance that we normally do, Greg. Right. But I tell you what, that message that you sent and wrote for them over the weekend or whenever you wrote it, it's pretty powerful, dude. Well done.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate the comment. Yeah, I posted it last night after dinner. I've been thinking about it for quite a while. I have two nephews and a niece. Two nephews graduating college this spring and a niece that graduated high school here in Rochester Friday. And all the great young people we connect with on social. And our world has just turned on its head here since March. We were going along, unemployment was zero, and rosy projections, and then whoop. I mean, now you got whatever unemployment, and then holy smokes, we put the last week on top of it. So I just wanted a message and say, you know what, it's going to be okay. And I tried to share a little story. Yeah. I get wandering a bit, but back when our daughters are almost 30 now, but when they were in high school, at one point, I went to pick up our youngest daughter for an orthodontist appointment at high school, and I got detained. I was going to be late. And bless her heart, she's a sweetheart. She's a chemical engineer now, 5 years in, married, great heart. But I knew she was going to be upset that Dad was late. And as I drove across town, it was making me mad that she was going to be mad. And she was a little miffed, which, I mean, totally normal for a 15-year-old girl to be Dad, whatever.
Yep.
But we got to the ortho, and I said, honey, we're going to have a little talk here. And I was upset. And I was trying to explain that life is so much harder if you can't flip it and try to see things through someone else's eyes. Like in this case, honey, do you think I was trying to be late? Do you think I was trying to make your life harder? Can you think the best? But the ironic thing in my message in the blog to seniors was that life is amazing in its unexpectedness, because I gave that message and she took it really well. But the thing was, I realized afterwards I needed to be talking to me about any number of things. Open my window wider. That was my message. Open your window wider to try and flip it and see things through someone else's eyes. And I think we all need to do that here, obviously, the last
right now
week. Yeah, right now. So for seniors out there, hang in there, keep your chin up. Do your best, work hard, but don't be afraid to be willing to look at it differently. Because one of the things I found, Chip, I don't know about you, but I think for people, if you have a set point of view, that's totally cool. But one thing is it's dang tough to be right all the time. It makes life hard on the people around you, whether that's your family or friends, coworkers or whatever. So being willing to at least go, you know what, let me look at that a little different. And think about it. And that's all I was trying to convey. So,
Yeah. Well, and you did a wonderful job of conveying that message in that blog post there, Greg. It's always fun when you tell these stories like you do in your posts. And this one hit me, especially with what's going on in the country right now, with the riots and trying to understand exactly what is going on. It's, You know, it's so frustrating, but I think if we do just try to put yourself in another man's shoes for a little while and see it from, right. from their point of view, it does everybody some good.
It's very difficult to do, but a worthwhile effort. And yeah, we'll get through this. And I think the young people hopefully will lead us through. So
exactly. Greg, well done. Thank you, my friend. We will talk to you again next week.
Hey, sounds great, guys.
All right. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. When we come back, we've got Mike Poshin, the president of the Iowa Pork Producers Association.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, the question now is, did China retaliate or not? Based on the market, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, I think the market's confused. There's reports out there that China's told the state-owned companies to pull back on soybeans and pork purchases from the United States, possibly corn and cotton as well. But yet we're hearing that there are bids in the marketplace. So we'll see how this all shakes out. But for now, at least the soybean market's indicating that they necessarily don't believe it, because we are trading a little bit firmer here this morning. So, a lot to be told here on the trade front. But for now, it appears that kind of the reports were a false alarm.
Okay. All right. I hope that's the case, because the tonnage that they're talking about for that September forward time period that they're supposedly shopping in, it's a significant amount of soybeans, isn't it?
Well, that's the prime buying season for the U.S. Yep. soybeans from China. So that's critical. So this is something that we should watch moving forward. But, Trump didn't pull any punches on Friday right. there. But he also didn't give any specifics in terms of what the restrictions would be on Hong Kong and those types of things.
All right. Very good. Real quick, take us over to the livestock trade.
Well, they're not handling it as well. They have come off their lows, both cattle and hog futures. But hogs are trading sharply lower. Cattle market's moderately to sharply lower in most of the contracts. So still some concerns there, I think, in terms of China and what the purchases will be, especially on the pork side.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on, for our family and yours.
Little grease hog for pork week.
Little grease hog, there it is. There it is.
Love pork that. Bellies, pork bellies. Pork bellies.
Mm-hmm. Pork bellies turned into bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon, bacon. Welcome pork to Pork bellies. Week on AgriTalk, everybody.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
I am your host, Jeff Flory. We've got Davis Michelson with me. And right now, I want to have a conversation with the president of the Iowa Pork Producers Association. That is Mike Poshin. He joins us right now. Mike, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chip. I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. What a crazy time to be a hog producer in the state of Iowa, Mike. At the start of the year, one of the things that makes it so frustrating for me was that at the start of the year, I think the optimism was fairly high. The idea that we were going to get into a recovery mode, domestic demand was good, our export demand was outstanding, China was going to be buying more. And to see the rug pulled out from underneath it and the challenges that we're dealing with now, it's just really a frustrating time, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think you summed it up pretty well there. It's been a rough couple years here. We've been fighting a lot of trade disruptions and other things. You're spot on when you say there was a lot of optimism going into the start of this year. Everybody was looking forward to what they thought was going to be kind of a recovery year for the industry. And lo and behold, things have not turned out the way we thought, and we find ourselves in an even worse spot than we had been. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to be a part of the conversation, guys, hop on in here. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. When you do, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. There it is. Davis is paying attention to this, Mike. That's pretty impressive. he hit us with the dang there. Okay, so how close are we? And I don't even know if I know how to ask this question, because I want to ask how close we are to a recovery in the slaughter industry in the state of Iowa. But because we need to run more than 100% for a period of time to try to get caught up with the marketings, I don't know if we ever get caught up. Do we, Mike?
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question right now. And, the reality is, we're not back to 100% capacity, and every day we aren't, we're actually adding to the backlog. Right. And so it's very troubling for producers right now to be in a situation where we're basically just taking it week to week, if not day to day, trying to figure out when things are going to get back on track. And nobody can really give you a for sure answer on how big the backlog is, but some good minds have done some math and guesstimated that it could be as much as 600,000 just in the state of Iowa. And if you're talking nationwide, you're talking maybe 2 million animals. So it's a big hurdle to overcome, and it's going to take months. This is not something that's going to be resolved in a few weeks by any stretch.
Yeah. So unfortunately, part of the answer to all of this is euthanizing some hogs, depopulating some fat hogs. For those that are faced with making that kind of a decision, Mike, what do they need to know? What do they need to do to get some financial assistance, to get some assistance on handling the deads and stuff like that?
Yeah, this is not something that most producers spend a lot of time thinking about, how to mass depopulate and dispose. So it's not something producers are necessarily equipped to do. But here in the state of Iowa, we've been blessed to have great support from Governor Reynolds and Secretary Nag, and also our partners at Iowa State. And they have all gone together, along with the Iowa Pork Producers Association, to put together a central hub, the Resource Coordination Center, that is available for producers who have any kind of question, whether it's, how to change their feed rations to slow their pigs down so they don't get too big, to euthanasia and disposal. They're there for any questions producers have. They can go to the website, they can call in, and they'll get connected with the experts on the subject matter that they need so they can make the best decision for their farm. Because everybody's situation is going to be unique, and it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution. And the sad reality is that, my heart goes out to the producers who have found themselves in that situation already. But, those of us who haven't, we're losing sleep at night because we recognize that, we don't know how long this is going to drag on. And, and we could all find ourselves in that situation at some point. So, it's not fun to think about, but, it is something we need to plan for.
Yeah. And Mike, we got to look out for each other in this. Those that have had to make that tough decision already, they need to understand that guys like you are out there in their corner, and we just need to look out for each other, because this is a challenging time.
Yep, you're right, and I think it's important that people realize they're not alone in this. We're all going through this together, and there's a lot of good resources available, but at the same time, let's be realists here. Most producers are pretty independent and pretty self-reliant. And it's hard to ask for help, it might be hard for them to recognize that they do need some help. So, I would really just encourage producers, reach out to your friends, fellow producers, just check in on them, see how they're doing. Yep. you know, it's often helpful just to realize that you're not the only one who's struggling with this. You're not the only one who's going through a tough time. And you know, you don't have to have all the answers. That's all right.
Right.
You know, we're all trying to figure this out. But yeah, just take the time, reach out, check in with each other, because you know, it's not a fun situation that we're in, and what makes it that much harder is that we don't really know when we're going to be out of this. Right. So, you know, there's no real time frame here, and it seems like it's going to keep going on forever. But you know, we'll get through this eventually, but you know, unfortunately, yeah, Nobody knows when that's going to be right now.
Right. So we've still got a big challenge in front of us, but, you know, it's been impressive to see how producers have pulled together. It's been impressive to see how even though we've got a big roadblock in front of us, the industry does continue to function, doesn't it?
Yep, you're right. And that's been one of the bright spots in all of this.
Yep.
Is just seeing how, you know, producers, our partners in the food supply chain, everyone has just stepped up and said, you know, okay, let's figure this out. Let's save as many of these animals as we can, keep them, yep, in the food supply, whether that's selling pigs on Facebook, whether it's donating them to the food pantries, whether it's making contacts, you know, five states away and getting a load out somewhere. It's, you know, it's been very encouraging to see producers have not thrown the towel in on this. They're battling, you know, a mountain of a problem right now, and they're just continuing to chip away at it, and they're refusing, yeah, to give up on their pigs. You know,
yep,
it's the sad reality is most of the pigs that are making it to market, we're losing money on as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it, and in spite of all that, you know, producers are not giving up, and that's,
yep,
that just makes me proud. To be part of this industry where there are so many people just like that who
right,
aren't afraid to step up and meet a challenge head on.
Yep. Yeah. Demand is going to mean so much to us as we do get into the recovery phase, Mike. And it is some good news that we've got the restaurants and the food service starting to reopen.
Yep. Yep. That's definitely a bright spot that's coming along here. That kind of threw a pretty big monkey wrench into the,
oh, yeah,
into the supply chain here, because the products that food service want are not necessarily the same ones that consumers are looking for in a grocery store. You know, you know, certain cuts like bacon, for instance, the vast majority of that is consumed in food service. So,
yeah,
you know, we certainly recognize our partners there have suffered through all of this as well. And it's great to see them getting the chance to reopen and get back to business. And we certainly hope that will result in some better demand.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the export side of the market. And doggone it, China felt so good, and it looked like it was going to be a gangbuster market for us, and now I don't know if it's going to be or not, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I mean, China is kind of demonstrating to us that they are not going to be a reliable trading partner. You know, I think the best analogy that I can come up with is it's like your favorite sports team. You go into the start of each season with high hopes and expectations of a championship, and every once in a while it happens and everybody goes home happy, but most of the time you end up disappointed. And that's kind of sums up our trading relationship in China. I mean, it's always going to be an important trading partner for us, but they seem more than willing to throw us under the bus when there's political issues come up. So I think it's important for us to continue to develop other markets, you know, especially in that part of the world.
Yeah.
I was fortunate to be able to join a trade mission last year to Vietnam and the Philippines.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that those economies are growing rapidly, and they really are going to,
yeah,
be demanding more pork in the future. So
excellent,
you know,
Mike. Yeah, Mike, we're out of time here. It's a great conversation.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your time and for what you're doing for the Iowa pork producers.
My pleasure. Thanks, Chip.
All right. We've got Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork up next.
Hip, hip. I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Were they just saying, ham, ham? Ham, ham.
And as long as we're talking about holiday, I mean, we ought to be talking about where we can go and get pork.
Yeah.
Because it's pork.
A little pork could hit the spot right now.
It really would. Mm-hmm. It really would. That would be, you know, a little pork sandwich.
Yeah.
How have I not mentioned pulled pork?
Well,
that's like one of my favorite things in the world.
If we tried to fit it all in, all the things you could do with pork, we would. I mean, we're going to need the whole week to get through it all. So
that's right. That's
take
right.
Your time. Let's savor the conversations about this savory protein.
Because we've got a buffet in front of us that we need to take advantage of. It is
now
the virtual
got it.
A virtual pork buffet.
Let's
bring in Jennifer Scheich.
Pork
editor
buffet.
Of Farm Journal's pork. How are you, Jennifer?
I am great. And speaking of that, I made the best slow roasted pulled pork yesterday for Pork Week. I thought I needed to celebrate here at home at the Scheich office. And so I'm going to have a delicious pulled pork sandwich for lunch today.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, you could send one my way. I'm just saying. Just saying. So, Jennifer, normally we'd be in Des Moines this week.
Right. We would. I'm kind of a little bit sad. I'm missing out on World Pork Expo. It's definitely one of the highlights of my year. I joke about I've spent about every birthday at the World Pork Expo, and this year it's not happening again. So, so we're going to try to make up for it a little bit with just celebrating the pork industry through Pork Week this week.
Absolutely. And from my point of view, I'm going to be taking a very much business type approach to the whole pork industry because that's what I do. But the coverage on porkbusiness.com, Jennifer, this is going to be wide ranging and we're not going to leave any, BLT unturned as we go through the week.
No, we're not. We've got a great lineup of stories covering all angles because obviously, you know, the pork business, the markets, industry, profitability, those are things that we talk about all the time. And we're going to ramp up all those talks this week. But we're also going to take a deep dive into other areas of the industry from, you know, how consumer demand is going to change post COVID-19, to take in a look at how the impact of some of these state fair cancellations have on our youth pig exhibitors out there and kind of how they're feeling about everything. So a huge variety.
Yeah, and I know that that you've been involved in the virtual hog shows. Any more big plans for that this summer?
Well, you know, actually, yesterday and today, kids are entering their pigs in a virtual show to essentially replace what they're missing out of at the show that would have been held in conjunction with the World Pork Expo or the Exposition Show. And so, our kids were videotaping their pigs the past 2 days, and we're uploading videos today. And this week, Ag Day is going to air a story where Betsy actually went behind the scenes at Walton Webcasting to see how those virtual shows run.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. That's an important part of the segment an important part of the industry that we can't lose track of, and that is the young people that are involved in this industry. And it's a family affair in so many cases. And we need to give them the opportunities that generations of youth have had over the years. So I'm really glad to see that this is happening out there. The challenges. obviously, the challenges that the hogmen are facing right now, Jennifer, we're going to be on top of that and trying to figure out what the recovery looks like going forward, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I visited with Bill Even and Neil Dirks about, you know, what does profitability look like? And so I'll be having a story coming out this week that gets into their perspectives on that and kind of their differing thoughts. And, you know, I appreciated Neil's perspective on right now, you know, we're more worried about just getting a little bit of stability. You know, profitability is on everybody's minds, but we also just need some stability to help us get through, you know, this roller coaster that we're on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the promise from lawmakers like Congressman Peterson, the chairman of the House Ag Committee, that there is help coming. The fact that some relief for hog producers was included in CFAP, the fact that the HEROES Act that still needs to be voted on by the Senate, and its focus is going to be narrowed. I don't think there's any question about that. And we're still a couple of weeks away from seeing a vote on that in the Senate. But hog producers have been assured that there is going to be some financial help coming in additional COVID relief packages. And I think that's allowed them to focus on what's really important right now, and that is taking care of market-ready hogs and finding some way to keep them in the food chain.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one thing, too, that, you know, Neil and I were talking about. He said, we need to get this HEROES Act, you know, the livestock components passed the best that we can, because that has so much promise for our producers there to help them through.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It sure does. Okay, on Twitter, hashtag Pork Week. That's capital P, capital O, capital R, capital K, capital W. And then you can go lowercase on the EEK. But it's Pork Week on Twitter here at Farm Journal and porkbusiness.com. So it's going to be a great week, Jennifer. Good luck. Have fun with it.
We will. See you guys online.
You bet. You bet. That is Jennifer Shake. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Pork. We need to have like a virtual barbecue this week at some point too, Davis. I don't think there's any.
That's
questions.
A great idea.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, come back this afternoon. We've got Karen Braun from Reuters, and tomorrow morning, Nick Giordano from NPPC.